Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and please stay with me for this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area and clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org. It features topics of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning, audio, video, and written articles that might help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And lastly, please visit my articles in the Washington Business Journal once a month where I write a column entitled Blueprint for Wealth, and it's on the same topics, tax, estate planning, and business planning. Hopefully, you'll get some knowledge out of those articles. And if you have any questions, give us a call at 703-218-2100. Today, we're going to be talking about the president's new Jobs Act, what he proposes to do to spur the economy try to get the economy back on track in terms of increasing or creating jobs and what it's going to cost in that regard. First of all, President Obama is suggesting that there be tax cuts to help America's small businesses hire and grow. Now, this is nothing new. It's basically a continuation of some of the incentives that the president had offered up over the last couple of years. Number one, he proposes cutting the payroll tax in half for the first $5 million of wages per employer. That means that the FICA tax, the Social Security tax, would drop from 6.2% down to 3.1%. And again, it would be capped at $5 million, but essentially it would affect over 98% of all employers in the United States. Now, that's a significant benefit because that allows the employers not to have to pay Social Security up to the maximum cap amount on the employees. What a benefit. But what's going to happen to the Social Security Trust Fund as a result of the depletion of funds? That's my question, not the president's. Next incentive that he's offering is eliminating temporarily employer payroll taxes on wages for new workers or for giving raises for existing workers. Now, a lot of employers have frozen the pay of employees because of the downturn in the economy. This would allow for a tax holiday on the full 6.2 payroll tax that companies have to pay for any growth in payroll up to $50 million above the prior year, whether it's driven by new hires or increased wages or both. So this is a job creation measure that the Congressional Budget Office has called probably the most effective of all the tax cuts in supporting employment and increasing hiring in the economy. The last tax incentive that the president is offering is one that's currently in effect in 2011, and that is very generous expensing provisions where you can write off computers, software, furniture, fixtures and equipment, and even leasehold improvements. The provision expires at the end of 2011 and goes back to a much less generous provision. He would extend it for the 2012 tax year. The president is also proposing to help entrepreneurs and small businesses gain access to capital. It includes administrative, regulatory, and legislative measures, including those developed and recommended by the president's Job Council, to help small firms get started and expand. The president is going to announce a plan to accelerate government payments to small contractors so that they get paid faster. So if there's a government contractor who's performing services for the federal government, they'll get paid in as fast as 30 days as opposed to the typical 90 days or longer that the government is able to pay. The second major part of the president's proposal is to put workers back on the job while rebuilding and modernizing America. And one of those provisions is a tax credit providing special benefits to those who hire unemployed veterans. The employer can get a tax credit of up to $5,600 for hiring unemployed veterans who've been looking for a job for more than 6 months. There's also a Wounded Warriors tax credit of up to $9,600 for unemployed service-disabled veterans. It also provides provisions for preventing layoffs of teachers. In fact, they're proposing to invest $35 billion that will lead to retaining over 280,000 teachers that otherwise would be laid off under state government budget cuts. Some of the funds that would be raised in the proposal would be used to modernize our public schools. Over 35,000 schools would be modernized. Science labs, internet-ready classrooms, renovated facilities would be modernized. Up to $25 billion of investment in school infrastructure will be set aside for that. Also, the president has proposed setting aside $50 billion in immediate investments for highways, transit, rail and aviation, helping to modernize an infrastructure that now gets a grade of D from the American Society of Civil Engineers, helping rebuild our infrastructure. He also proposes setting aside $10 billion for establishing a national infrastructure bank and $15 billion for project rebuild that would put people back to work rehabilitating homes, businesses, and communities in the local jurisdictions. His proposal also includes pathways back to work for Americans that are looking for jobs. There would be reform for unemployment insurance so that people could still receive unemployment insurance as long as they're volunteering or entering into training programs. So it's known as the Bridge to Work program. States also would be able to use the unemployment insurance to encourage older, long-term unemployed Americans to return to work in new industries or occupations. In other words, trying to push back the retirement age a little bit. There would be money that would be set aside, also in terms of payroll tax cuts, which I've already alluded to. And he proposes paying for this $447 billion as follows. Let me tell you that it's not, you know, the pain is not without, or the pleasure is not without pain. We have to be able to pay for these tax, for these provisions by, he proposes, increasing taxes. He proposes limiting itemized deductions for families with taxable incomes of $250,000 or more, and ending tax breaks for oil and gas companies and corporate jet owners. So if you're making more than $250,000 in taxable income, your itemized deductions would be limited to a tax benefit of no more than 28%, even though the tax rates might be as high as 35%. So you're losing essentially 7% of your itemized deductions, or the benefit of 7% of your itemized deductions. That would apply to married and filing joint taxpayers. For individuals, it would be for anyone with taxable income over $200,000. On the oil and gas side, they're proposing to disallow intangible drilling costs. It's been in the Internal Revenue Code since the 1980 Tax Act, and it is a significant benefit to the oil and gas industry. But compared to the disallowance of the deduction for itemized deductions for so-called wealthy taxpayers, it's relatively small. The itemized deduction disallowance provision is going to result in tax revenue increases to the federal government of approximately $408 billion. So out of the $447 billion, you can see that individuals who are supposedly high net worth will be hit with this tax increase. The intangible drilling cost provision is a much smaller provision. Another hidden surprise in the president's proposal, but it's been proposed over legislation over the last 7 or 8 years, is the disabling or preventing investment fund managers, venture capitalists, and others from claiming capital gains treatment, long-term capital gains treatment, on the so-called carried interests they have in their investment funds. Normally, when somebody sets up a venture capital fund or a private equity fund or a hedge fund or an investment fund, The person who sets it up gets a management fee, a small management fee up front for each year that the fund is in existence, and may participate in profits only after the investors get their preferred returns out of the deal. After the investors get their preferred returns out of the deal, they may take as high as 20% of the residual profits of the entity. That 20% is known as a carried interest. In the past, tax practitioners have treated that carried interest as being subject to long-term capital gains. The highest rate on those types of on that type of income right now is 15% for federal tax purposes. The president proposes subjecting the carried interest to ordinary income tax rates. So, needless to say, this has created a significant furor on Wall Street. Now, the president's proposals are not a slam dunk. In fact, many have said that his proposals are dead on arrival, that the whole piece of legislation will not pass, mainly because of the tax increases on the wealthy. He's going to also submit a deficit reduction proposal that would reduce the deficit over $2 trillion over 10 years, beginning on September the 19th, and that will be considered by the so-called super committee that is going to deal with how to reduce the deficit. I imagine in that $2 trillion of deficit reduction, there will be significant additional tax increases, which we will report to you as soon as we find out exactly what they're proposing. In any event, the idea of tax increases to pay for jobs, infrastructure building is a controversial item, to say the least. If you have any questions about these tax provisions, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. And by the way, don't forget to subscribe to my blog, where you can get the latest and greatest information on tax, estate planning, and business planning at www.blueprintforwealth.org.